We now turn your attention to the reading of God's precious word as you can find it in Luke 17. We read together the first 19 verses. First 19 verses of Luke 17. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible that but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he would offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird myself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trust not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving turns around the benefits that we have received. Looking back to that past season behind us, we can say that the Lord has loaded us with good gifts day after day. Perhaps some days were more difficult than others. But can we really say that we lacked anything? Anything that we really needed? All of us have received benefits, undeserved benefits from the Lord. It's a blessing to receive them. It's a blessing and another blessing to recognize them. It's good to have a day like this to stop and to ponder the good gifts and the things that the Lord has given to all of us. Perhaps it would be a good idea maybe to sit down today sometime. Today, maybe you have done so already, and to take a pen and a paper and remember what the Lord has done in this past season, write them all down. And what a blessing it truly would be when you then would fall on the feet of Jesus Christ and thank Him for it. For all those gifts. And thank God for all those gifts. He is the giver of all good gifts. And with the Lord's help, we would like to consider that from the history of the thankful Samaritan. We will see that true thankfulness does not really come naturally or easily to us. It has everything to do whether we really experience the mercy of God in our lives or not. Let us consider Luke 17, verses 11 till 19, and our main text is verse 16, where we read God's precious word, and it says there, "And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." Our theme is Jesus and the thankful Samaritans. Jesus' benefits received, firstly. Jesus' benefits recognized. And Jesus' beneficial question. Jesus' benefits received. So children, congregation, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. Over the course of his ministry, he traveled to Jerusalem various times for the feasts. But this time, the Lord is traveling toward Jerusalem with this purpose in mind, to suffer and die for his people. And so to fulfill those feasts. Luke notes that this journey starts early in chapter 9, verse 51, and it came to pass, it says there, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's the journey he's taking. He travels with a purpose to be received up. But while he travels, it's in those days that many reject him. And as he's traveling between the borders of Samaria and Galilee, as we see in verse 11, he enters a certain village. The name of the village is not known. It's not given. Which tells us that's not important for us to know where it exactly happened. But from the general description, we know that this is an area where he often used to preach, and where they knew about his miracles. Even before this history took place. So Jesus' road to Jerusalem was not just a road haphazardly chosen. It was a road which he traveled according to God's eternal purpose for his life. It was a road that he traveled to save sinners, to show his mercy. And so in this unknown village, he meets 10 lepers. Not by accident. All according to God's plan. And as we probably know, leprosy was an ugly and devastating disease. It broke apart your whole social life. Lepers were outcasts. They were not allowed to live in their own town anymore. They were banned or barred from the worship of the Lord. They were far away from their family, and they had to stay far away from normal life because their sickness was contagious. And that's why verse 12 says, "There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Outcasts. When people would come to close, they had to call out. Children, maybe you know. Unclean, unclean. To warn them for the danger of infection. What exactly their illness was, we don't know precisely. Often people have connected it with the Hansen disease, in which limbs would shrivel and fall off. But when we listen to the biblical descriptions, the biblical laws in Leviticus, it seems to have been a disease with all kinds of skin problems, which were very contagious. Ultimately, it does not matter what it really was. The point is, they were unclean. They were cast out and were not part of normal society. But Jesus hears the heartfelt cry of these people. Instead of calling out, unclean, unclean, Jesus hears something very different. A very different cry in our history. Somehow these lepers must have been desperate. For verse 13 shows that they lifted up their voices and called Jesus. They don't give a warning that they were supposed to give. No, unclean, unclean. No, Jesus. They know His name. They knew about Him. Most likely they had heard about His fame, about His miracles. And they call this personal name, Jesus. That precious name that was given Him because it shows what He will do. He shall save His people from their sins. That name above every name. That name upon which one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. That name, Jesus. How many times in this past season have you, have I called out this precious name? Jesus, Savior. And they add to this precious name a title, Master. A title normally only used for disciples. It's a title of great respect. It was used for leaders, for commanders. They clearly show respect to Jesus as their superior, as their leader. They saw Him as an important authority figure in their lives. They respected Him. Oh, Jesus doesn't hear unclean, unclean. He hears something different from their lips. Have mercy on us. They must have believed that their only help is in Jesus. Do we believe that too? They must have believed what His name meant. Do you believe that too today? Do you believe that He's the only Savior? Do you believe that you can only be truly blessed if Jesus blesses you? They must have trusted what they heard about Him. That He was doing good, going around doing good, healing. Maybe we remember that when John the Baptist was doubting in prison about who Jesus was, if He was the real Messiah, yes or no, then Jesus in Matthew 11 verse 5 answers John and He says what He is doing. And He's repeating what He is doing from what happened, what was written about Him in Isaiah. What does He say? The blind receive their sight. The lame they walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Is that perhaps the message that they had heard? That's the message that you have heard about Jesus, isn't it? If so, no wonder that they forgot to call their usual warning. No wonder they called out, probably with their hoarse voices, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so these lepers cry out, pity us in our miserable circumstances. Have compassion on us in our sickness. We are in dire need. God, be merciful to me. Do you know that cry? Do you know that cry this morning? Although you should be crying out, I should be crying out, unclean, unclean, because of the multitude of our sins. Also this past season, have we learned this cry? Have mercy on us. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard about His power. This past season, you've heard about His name, about His fame. Has this changed your cry to mercy, Lord? Have mercy on me. Jesus hears. Jesus hears these kind of cries. He's pleased with those who plead for mercy. He not only hears. He hears those lepers, but he sees them. Look at verse 14 if you have your Bibles open. When he saw them. He sees this group of miserable ones standing afar off, far away. Would they have been able to see his eyes? Would they have been able to see his sympathy? We don't know. One thing we learn, that Jesus, the sympathetic and merciful high priest, looks to those with in these needy circumstances with mercy. He's compassionate. Perhaps you're here today in the midst of perhaps depressing circumstances, and you cannot but cry, "Mercy, Lord, have mercy on me." Know that Jesus then this morning hears your cry, and he sees you even when you perhaps for your sins feel far away from him. The Lord has always had an eye for the weak, for the helpless, for the widow, for the widower, for the orphan, for the vulnerable in our society. He sees them. Think back about Hagar at the well. Think back about Ruth. Think back about all those laws that protected the poor, giving them a right even to glean on the corners of the land during the harvest. Our God is a God of mercy for the weak and vulnerable. Our God is a God of mercy for the spiritually destitute. But not exclusively so. That's what we learn here in how the Lord Jesus deals with these 10 lepers. Jesus not only sees them, he speaks to them. Jesus has a message for those who are in trouble, who call upon him. His message is this: go, show yourself to the priests. His message comes with authority. His message is strange. Go, show yourself to the priest. What were they to do at the priests? The laws in Leviticus show that it is the task of a priest to declare lepers clean. So translated to today, this message is, you need someone to declare that your leprosy is gone. You're healed. Now it sounds a bit like the gospel, doesn't it? Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the only great high priest, he can declare that your sins are gone. He justifies the ungodly. Go to him. He is your priest. Jesus commanded all 10 of them to go and show. It was a command. The gospel comes to us. It comes as a command. Go show your misery, your sin, to Jesus Christ. Jesus' command requires faith. Then as well as now, these 10 lepers needed to trust his authoritative word. All 10 of them. All of us need to trust today his authoritative word. If they would start to argue, well, what if we come to the priest and we are still sick? Then they probably wouldn't have gone at all. If we would start to argue, will he really hear us? Will he really keep his promises? We were probably tempted to stop crying out to the Lord, stop listening to the Word, stop using the means and receiving undeserved blessings from above. And we forget what we learn here from this passage. Jesus hears the miserable, and Jesus sees them. These lepers went, all 10 of them. They had a certain measure of trust in Jesus' words. And look what happens. Look what happens. As they are going, they are cleansed. While they are going to the priests in Jerusalem, they are being healed. Their scabs, perhaps their itch, their leprosy, all gone. It disappears. Jesus heals. God heals the miserable. Look at verse 14b. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. A miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' word comes to us with power. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. His power accompanies His word. He blesses obedience to His word. He blesses people with the gospel, as well as with all kinds of earthly blessings to all these 10 men. They were healed. Now fast forward to Thanksgiving 2017. Have you gone through miserable circumstances this past season? How often have you cried out for mercy to the Lord? Have you felt your utter inability to change your own life and circumstances and situation? And did the gracious Savior, the merciful High Priest, did He hear your cries? Did He look to you? Have you seen His friendly face? Did you hear His voice? Have you heard His tender voice through the Word of God? Did you obey His Word? Did this Word come to you with authority? Did He heal you? Have you experienced His power in your life? Can you say, Thanksgiving 2017, I look back, I received, and I see. I received benefits from the Savior. Spiritual benefits. What a blessed day must this be for you. Perhaps you look to different blessings, earthly blessings, this morning. How many have we received? All of us. Earthly benefits. Tables filled with food. A comfortable home, daily care, physical energy, health, work, financial support, friendships, rest, a harvest, material possessions. Have I really begun to make a list? Most of us experience situations quite different from the circumstances of these 10 lepers. We live as kings. We receive from Him. Whether we acknowledge it as true believers or as named Christians. We receive. It shows the truth of Matthew 5 verse 45. He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Both on the evil and the good He sends blessings. And He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I think we all realize that receiving those earthly benefits is not the same as experiencing God's salvation. It's quite different. Although, when you truly walk with the Lord, we begin to see that everything comes out of His fatherly hand. Absolutely everything. Then we all receive more benefits than we can name. Where does it bring us this morning? Where does it bring us? Do these benefits bring us this morning at the feet of a merciful Savior? Do they bring us this morning to humble adoration, recognizing Him as the giver of them? That's the point we will see in our next thought, is Jesus' benefits are recognized, however not by all ten. Jesus' benefits recognized. One of these ten men sees he's healed. One of them. Look at verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed. Are you like him today? Are you like him today? You recount your many, many benefits. The cries that the Lord answered. The care that the Lord provided. When you make up your lists of benefits today. When you look at the many good things you have received. Are you like this man? When he sees what happened to him, when he sees that he's healed, when he sees the benefits that he receives, he makes a U-turn. And with a loud voice, he begins to glorify God. This is from the Lord. It's the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in my eyes. It's probably hoarse voice. Which was used to cry, unclean, unclean. Which then learned to cry, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Now that same voice, yes, at the top of his voice, praises God, ascribing glory to him. That is thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving's day. True thanksgiving. Let it sink in for a moment. With a loud voice, our text says. Come, hear what the Lord has done for my soul. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. He has delivered me. My life from death. My feet from falling. Does that resonate with you, your heart this morning? God is good all the time. Through Jesus' cross, He saved me from the pit of destruction. God is good. I deserve hell. And I receive fatherly, tender fatherly care day after day. Look what this man does as soon as he comes to Jesus. Our text. And he fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. Humility. Upon his face. With his face in the dirt. Small. Insignificant. God big, I small. Adoration at Jesus' feet, a sign of submission. Lord, Thou hast conquered me with Thy love and Thy kindness. I'm Thy servant. Verse 16 says it very specifically. Giving Him, that is Jesus, thanks. Is that your place today? As you ponder His goodness, as you ponder His mercy, as you ponder the fact that He is the merciful High Priest who hears, who looks, who speaks to you to heal you spiritually. Is that your place today? As you ponder God's goodness in giving you a multitude of earthly blessings and benefits, which we don't deserve, yet receive, do you recognize them as coming from Him? This man was thanking Jesus. What does it mean to truly be thankful? Well, what do we see this man is doing? Consider these three things. His return, all on his own, No one with him says something about his grateful heart. He did not just want to enjoy the gifts, but came back personally to thank and bless the giver. He came back to honor Jesus. Have your spiritual and earthly blessings brought you to come back to Jesus with personal thanks? Wanted to be close to him. You see, that says something. That says something about the renewed desires of your heart. That shows true thankfulness of heart, doesn't it? Second thing. His return says something about grateful worship. He came back, not being able to be quiet about it. Ascribing healing power, mercy and goodness to God alone. We worship God when we recognize that all comes from Him. And all belongs to Him. We included. Our worship needs to be expressed with our lips to others. Do people around us know and hear and see that we are thankful? Do you openly express your thankfulness before others to God? His return tells us something about the grateful attitude. He falls down in humility at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's a good place to be this morning. That's a good place to be. He says, I gladly submit. I gladly desire to serve. Where are we, Thanksgivings 2017? Are we laying at the feet with a grateful heart and praise to God on our lips? Blessed Thanksgivings. Who was this man? This man was a Samaritan, our text says. As you will know, Samaritans were hated by the Jews. It says emphatically in our text, and he himself was a Samaritan. The other 10 must have been Jews. But this Samaritan returned. Again, who is he? An outcast. Look at the text. What does it show? He was a leper. He stood afar, verse 12. And then he cries for mercy, 13. He was healed, 15. And then the Lord Jesus says about him in verse 18, he was a stranger, a foreigner. He was healed. But still, in the eyes of every Jew, he would be an outcast. Yet he came back to this Savior, also an ethnic Jew. And he was welcome. He was welcome. And he truly worshipped and thanked Jesus. The question that comes to us, who are we? And what is our response? Can we identify with this man? With his misery? With his cry? With his gratitude? Can we identify with him spiritually? Really, there's a problem if we can. Could it be that we cannot identify with this man because we feel much more comfortable in the identity of Laodiceans? Although we know that that's not a good thing to be, isn't it? Laodiceans, what was the spirit of the Laodiceans? I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Knoweth not that thou art, Jesus says, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, you feel no need this morning to thank. No need for thankfulness. Therefore, you feel no need to fall before Jesus' feet. Is that you this morning? May the Lord change you. As we continue to listen to our third point, we saw Jesus' benefits received and recognized, and now we turn to our third thought, Jesus' beneficial question. Jesus responds with questions. In verse 17, Jesus shines, as it were, what we can call a searchlight right into our hearts. Were there not 10 cleansed? The way he asked the question shows that he expects a positive answer. He knew there were 10 men. He knew only one of them returned. Only one came with true, humble, praising thankfulness to personally thank him at his feet. As they were, Jesus, the knower of our hearts, would be able to say of us as a congregation as well today, as he looks around to us, to our hearts this morning, does he need to ask a similar question to us this morning? Were there not more who heard about my fame in the gospel? Were there not more who have received benefits from me? Were there not more who were crying for mercy and received all kinds of mercies from me, the giver of all good gifts? Where are they? Why are they not praising God? Why are they not at my feet? Where are the 9? Where are they? Where are those among us who with lips and lives show our thankfulness in complete devotion to Him? We thank the Lord for those among you, us, who are actually doing that. Who are not just now and then doing some thanksgiving, but who are actually characterized by thanks living. But if the Lord would look around this morning, is it 1 out of 9 of those who profess grace? Is it only 10% that is truly on fire for Jesus Christ? Is 90% of us happy to return home, enjoying the blessings for ourselves? How many of us are absent at prayer meetings when we gather around Jesus' feet, when we know He answers prayers? How many of us are fine with not sharing the blessings of the gospel with other people, with our neighbors, with our friend, with our co-workers? And I know that some of you are really struggling with that. But is this the question that Jesus needs to ask to us this morning? How many of us are fine to receive the benefits from the Lord without caring much about a personal, intimate, joyful, thankful, fulfilling relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know your heart. But these are the kind of questions that we need to ask ourselves this morning. It's the passage suggesting to us. The Lord knows the answers. Jesus shows this man was changed. Jesus, with these penetrating questions, is showing that this Samaritan had undergone a true transformation. And it was visible. It bore fruit in his life. Visibly changed. He recognized God's power. Visibly changed. As he thanked the Lord, visibly changed as he comes personally to Jesus Christ. This man was a Samaritan. He was considered to be a heathen. He came back thankful, truly thankful. The others were Jews. They would have known better. They return to the priests and then probably immediately home. Look how Jesus evaluates the situation in verse 18. He's amazed. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Only this Samaritan came back. None of the other nine. Seems to be amazement in the voice of Jesus here. What is so striking as well is that Jesus does not say, no one returned back to me. No, he says, no one returned to give glory to God. In Jesus' life, everything was about the glory of God. Glory of his Father. Nothing was about himself. And about his own glory. What a Savior. What a perfect Savior. What a humble Savior. Listen how positively Jesus evaluates the response of this man in verse 19. Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Stand up, go home, your faith has made you whole. Literal translation is, your faith has saved you. Christ saved him spiritually because everything that Jesus saw in the response of this Samaritan was characterized by faith. What was the faith that Jesus saw in the man? He saw his trust when he went with the other nine. In obedience, he went to those priests. He saw his holy zeal also when he turned around, came back to Jesus. He saw his humble, adoring worship. And this is something special here in this passage. It's a unique passage in the whole Bible. This Samaritan falls before Jesus while he glorifies God for his healing. No other passage shows this necessarily in this way. There are other people who fall before Jesus. There are other people who glorify God when Jesus has done wonderful things. But this shows it in a unique way. Jesus does not rebuke him. That says something too. He receives this worship. If Jesus was not God, he would have had to say, stand up, why are you worshiping me? That's what angels would do. We have stories in the Bible that tells that angels do that. But Jesus receives this worship and obviously desires that all the other 10 would have come to do the same. Worshipping and thanking Jesus, that's what it's telling us this morning. Worshipping and thanking Jesus is the same as glorifying God. Jesus is utterly unique. Jesus is the King of glory in human form. He's God himself, yet truly human. Worship him. Some of us might wonder, didn't Jesus see disobedience? It seems that the Samaritan did not go all the way to the priest, and so wasn't he disobedient? Let's consider this. Would this Samaritan have been received by the priests in Jerusalem, in the temple? It's doubtful. Jews hated Samaritans, and Samaritans were barely allowed in the temple. They were considered heathen. Was it then disobedience? The Lord knows. The Lord knows his heart and sees his heart perfectly. But think about it again. This man came to Jesus, who is the most compassionate high priest there is. He is the fulfillment of all the priests in the temple. This man had no better place to go to than to the feet of Jesus Christ, who was the fulfillment of those shadows. How about us? Have we seen the glory and beauty of this priest When we have, we will follow the footsteps of this Samaritan. When we have, we will sing, "Once I was blind, but now I see. I see Jesus. Once I was sick, but now I'm healed. I see a high priest who can pronounce me clean." We call this last thought Jesus' beneficial question. Why? Because as Jesus asks these questions, as we reflect on them in the light of the responses of our own heart, these questions are meant to bring us, every one of us, to the feet of this unique and merciful Savior. Not just for His benefits. Not just for His benefits. But for who He is. Who He is. And so, yes, may the Lord bring us to His feet when we have discovered those traces of our own ungratefulness, our sins. When we discover our desire for the gifts more than the giver. May these questions lead us to consider the leprosy of our own heart. Cry out for mercy and for the healing power of Jesus Christ. May His Word today be powerful as then, healing us from our unthankfulness. So that we make that U-turn and fall at the feet of Jesus Christ with true thanksgiving and give glory to God. May we hear His voice just as the leper heard it. Therefore, we have seen the spotlight, the searchlight on our heart, but let's turn that searchlight one more time. Full glory on the Savior, this amazing Savior. Let's observe Him and go through our minds what He does here. Look at Him. Worship Him. May the Lord bring you at His feet. What do we see as a Savior in this history? First, we see that He is a traveler. He was a traveler who had no place to lay His head. You have. We have. All of us have. No permanent dwelling place. And therefore Jesus can identify with strangers, with lepers and outcasts. Can we? Jesus' status teaches us that we are never too low to cry out to a lowly Savior. Let us fall at His feet. Thanksgiving for His approachability. Confessing our lack of desire. Second thing. Jesus hears the voice of the needy. He's that glorious, merciful high priest who can have compassion with our weaknesses. With our weaknesses. It's written all over this history. Therefore, worship Him for that as such. And fall at His feet. Who else is Jesus? Third, His name is known by the needy. What a comfort that is. Also to you. Do you know His name? Do you understand your need of Him? Do you know His name is Jesus? For He shall save His people from their sins. What a beautiful name. What a name to give thanks for this morning and fall at His feet. He was called Master. He's a respected leader. He can lead you into the green pastures beside still waters. Through that valley of the shadow of death. With His rod and staff to comfort you. He's that beautiful leader. That Master. Are we respecting Him? Bringing Him all our thanks? He is great. I'm small. He's asked also, fifthly, to show mercy. And He does. Sinners, mercy is available with Him. Whatever dire situation you are, return to Him. Fall at His feet. Thank Him. He sees the needy. Jesus sees the needy. Is that a comfort to you this morning? He's not haughty to those who really need His salvation. He doesn't look down on them. If you've come this morning to the conclusion that you're ungrateful, could be that you have some root of pride in your heart and self-sufficiency in your heart. You know, when that is confessed, when you come to Him and confess that, and when that is healed and taken away, you've seen your need, you will be able to fall at His feet and truly thank Him. Look at Him. He commands, they listen and go. They follow His commands and they are healed. Still true. As the mighty prophet, He needs to speak only a word. And we will see our absolute need for Him. And we will listen to His voice. And He will heal us from all our sins. His word is powerful. All so that we understand His power and gladly prostrate ourselves before Him. Look at Jesus again. He receives humble worship and is thanked for a miracle of God. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, able to cure the worst of diseases like leprosy and sin. When He has cleansed you, to never let us forget to ascribe all glory to Him and fall at His feet. That's what brings Him glory. Look at this merciful Savior, this wise Savior. He asks searching questions. He says Jesus is concerned about the purity of our motives and wants us at His feet in pure and truly thankful worship. Jesus is concerned about the worship of His Father and the glory of God. The Savior is not primarily concerned about Himself, but is concerned about the glory of the Father. And this passage shows that when we glorify God, or Jesus rather, and fall at His feet, He is glorified too. Both are glorified. And finally, if you say, I don't know about my faith, I don't know either, but here is a Savior who knows. Jesus recognizes true faith. And He's able to pronounce someone whole. He is able to justify the ungodly through faith. He, as our great priest, will see it, will recognize it when our faith is pure and true. He, as our great high priest, will rejoice in it, will know our devotion, and will know when we bring Him humble and thankful praise. And that will bring us to His feet. Our faith will bring us to the feet of this great high priest. And as He recognizes it here with this leper, He will recognize it with you.
before whom we fall. He's able to say this, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Your faith has saved you. So that we only thankfully worship Him and go our way in peace with true joy and true thankfulness. Amen.